Leaders. You're listening to Leaders.com.
Alhamdulillahi wa kafa. Wa salamun ala ibadihi allazina istafa. Amma ba'd, fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل يا أهل الكتاب لم تكفرون بآيات الله والله شهيد على ما تعملون. صدق الله العظيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters that are listening at home, like in any country that you visit, every country will have its own constitution. Every country will have its own constitution. And in every country, you will have a set of laws. And each country is different, of course. The set of laws would mean that there are certain things which are legal and lawful for you to do, and some actions might even be illegal. So every country that you visit, it's important that you have some basic knowledge of that country. And so, like how there is a constitution for every country, there is a legal procedure for every country, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also created insan. And after creating insan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made certain things that are lawful and certain things that are unlawful. And this system of something being lawful, unlawful, or call it halal or haram, is explained to us by Anbiya alayhimus salatu was salam, the messengers that have come in this dunya. Like different countries will have different laws. With every Nabi that came, there were certain laws that were slightly different. And when another Nabi came and the laws were annexed, it was slightly different, possibly. But we need to understand something which is very, very important. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rahman and Rahim. Allah is Rahman and Rahim. Not a single attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will you find in which, like how a human being sometimes is described as a zalim or a dictator, or that he might want to favor one group to another group. All of these things are qualities and functions of a human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rahman and Rahim. And everything that Allah has made lawful and unlawful has got great wisdom. Has got great wisdom. So when you are talking to someone who's not a Muslim, and if you are going to tell him this is haram or this is halal, then you are not giving him the right da'wat. You're not giving him the right da'wat. You don't know how to talk. You might be harming whilst you are thinking that I am giving him da'wat. Might be harming him, pushing him far away, further away from Islam. Just like this revered brother who said, I'm not going to become a Muslim because someone told me that I have to go through a cut. I have to go through a cut, and this cut I'm not going to do, so I'm not going to read the kalima. So you get jahil people, you know, who don't consult the ulama. And so it's so important how you are representing Islam. Very important. Islam is a very beautiful religion. And it is a natural way of living. So understand how you are to explain this to the people. First you explain to them that look, Allah is our Khaliq. Who is He? Our Khaliq. هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ, as the Imam Sahib read in the namaz. It is He who has created you. In another verse, Allah says, اللَّهُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ ثُمَّ رَزَّقَكُمْ ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ. Everything Allah has put in here. You know, is there someone else who can do that? Allah is saying, can you ask anyone in His creation, is there anyone but Allah who creates you? Then He gives you rozi and rizq, that He gives you sustenance. Then He will give you death, then He will resurrect you. Is there anyone else who can do that?
No.
Nobody. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our creator. And because He is our creator, not only has He created insan, but He has created everything in this dunya. The animals, the trees, the plants, the fishes, you name it, the mountains, everything Allah has created. And because Allah has created everything, Allah knows everything. Because He is the creator. He knows everything. And because He knows everything, He knows the nature of a human being. So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did is anything that was beneficial to the human being, by default Allah made it halal. By default Allah made it halal. Now do you understand? So that was halal by default. Anything that is not going to harm a human being, Allah made it halal, lawful. Like the countries will have things that are legal and illegal. Even in every country you have legal, illegal. In Singapore you can't have a chewing gum. Illegal. Every country has got laws by. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's laws are very different. It is not just designed for the Muslims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He is the Khaliq and He has created insan, so anything that is harmful to the human being, harmful, that Allah said is haram for you. Prohibition. Unlawful. Unlike a human dictator, he might want something from you and he might put any kind of a law, a legislation to his own advantage. Some countries do that, don't they? So that the law is there only to make it easy for a certain group of people who they want, whilst the other group will suffer. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not do that. Allah is so merciful that generally, the general rule is, anything that is going to harm insan, Allah made that unlawful. And anything that is going to be of benefit to insan, that is going to be by default halal for you. In this dunya, what we see also, that when people are working or doing something, the beneficiaries are only human beings. What are they? The beneficiaries are who? Human beings. Whatever you do. See, when a person is working and he wakes up in the morning and he goes to work, mashallah, he is working to provide for his family. For the wife, for the children, for his family, to look after his family. Generally, that is the case. Even the money that you are spending, anything that you buy goes back to the economy. It goes back to that economy. You are buying something. VAT. What is VAT? Value added tax. MashaAllah. What a nice, beautiful name. Eh? Value added tax. You know, when you want to take out money, it's such a nice way. This tax is a very unique word in English. It's a beautiful word. You want to drive a car? Yeah, yeah. We want money. Acha. They think, kya kare, kya kare, kya? Road tax. Kya kare? Road tax. Road tax. And then they want money again. What do we do? What do we do? Do we do? Council tax. Kya kare? Council tax. Beautiful. So when you want to rob people, you just have to sit around the table and design nice words. Design nice words. So you just, you know, make up any word and it becomes viral. Council tax, road tax, VAT, income tax, your whole income also you have to pay tax. You have to give contribution. So you see, there's a whole group of beneficiaries that are there. Subhanallah al-Azim. But the difference is that the concept of halal and haram in Islam, nothing is going to benefit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do we understand that very clearly? Nothing is going to be of benefit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you ask somebody that, look, you know, you have your God in front of you here, and you have put a thali of food and mithai in front of the God. So, is this food going to benefit your God? Is this food going to benefit your God? So, do you ever see these gods eating mithai, habshi halwa or anything like that? Do they eat mithai or anything? You don't know. Are you doubting something, Umar Farhan? He doesn't know. Bichara, he doesn't know. Huh? They don't eat. That's it. Because they really don't. It's just what's happening there. It's nothing. It just then goes out and other people are just going to eat it. Because they don't eat, they say now it's blessed food. See, this is how the human mind works. Allahu Akbar. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, anything, the concept of halal and haram in Islam is not going to benefit even Jibreel alayhi salam or the angels that he has created or anything of the sort. Nothing whatsoever. So let us first look at a few things for an example. The things that are going to be harmful to insan, Allah has made that haram. So if somebody is going to ask you, why is this haram? You got to go back and explain to them and say to them in a logical manner that, look, anything that is harmful to the human body, because Allah is more merciful than even my own parents, my Allah has guided me that don't do this. My Allah has guided me don't do this. Alcohol. Allah made it haram. Why? Is there any benefit to Allah? This drink, Aliyazubillah, any benefit? Any benefit to Jibreel, Mikael alayhi salam? Any benefit to them? Who are the beneficiaries? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has given the laws, it is not a benefit to the Khalik and Malik. Allah, out of His infinite mercy, even what He is saying to you, this is halal and this is haram, it is only for our benefit. Alcohol is harmful. Allah put a cross to it. Bhai, this is a prohibition, unlawful. Don't go close to it. It's not good for human beings. Drugs, put a cross to it. Bhai, it's not good for human beings. Subhanallah. Gambling. People have lost their houses, their businesses. People have been murdered. Gangs, you know, have finished off people because of the debt that needs to be repaid. I know of women who have asked for talaq because men are addicted to gambling. And this beautiful living, wealth, everything was there, but the house had to be put up for sale because of this addiction, gambling. So it's harmful to you, insan. So Allah has put a cross to it. Interest. Interest. Unnecessarily. You know, this opens the door of greed. This opens the door of greed. That is why we are suffering right now. All this suffering that we are going through. Subhanallah. Strikes everywhere and people are, you know, not working and, you know, they want a pay rise when there's no money and there's nothing whatsoever. Subhanallah. Maulvi ban jao, kabhi strike mein bhi nahi jata aur kabhi pay rise bhi nahi hota hai. Allah wale bichare. But anyway, everywhere else you see this whole system, because it is the system of interest. Unnatural. You are going to get bumped. You are going to get bumped. Allah knows why I have created you. Your economy is not going to run in this way. It cannot, your cash flow should not be in this system. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, anything harmful, you can't cheat, you can't do ghibat, you can't backbite. Subhanallah. If a lady is in iddat, you can't even marry her because she's still in iddat. Every single law of Sharia, you will see there is only what? Benefit. Everything. Anything that is harmful, what you can eat. Also, the laws of what Sharia tells you, this is what you can eat, what you can't eat. To murder, to kill, all haram, everything. To do shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also. It is very, very harmful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also made this haram. Because otherwise the wrong foundation is going to go inside you. So as Muslims and as our youth that are here, first we need to understand that Islam is rahmat. Islam is rahmat. Islam is mercy. Now some people say, Islam is very hard. Islam is very difficult. Bhai, when you are living in a country, you respect the law of that country. You go to Saudi Arabia for Umrah, you respect the law of that country, you fulfill the requirement. You go to India, you respect the law of that country. You go to any other European country, you respect the law of that country. You come here, you respect the law of this country. You go in any part of the world, you are respecting the law of that country. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made Islam even more easy than respecting any law of the country. This is how easy Islam is. Very, very easy. Because it is a natural way of living. Anything that is going to be of harm to you, Allah Pak has put a cross that this is haram. Anything that is of benefit, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that this is good for you. For an example, we give zakat. Is that going to benefit anybody? Does money reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No. Money is going back into the system. The qurbani meat that we are slaughtering animals, is it going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No, no. It is going back into the system. It is the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And why the Quran says, إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ, that shirk and to do kufr with Allah is the greatest abomination, the highest level of guna that a person can do. Why? What is the purpose? You know why, my respected brothers and elders? Because as human beings, the human in his nature wants someone that is extremely powerful, and he knows in his mind that there is someone who is extremely powerful and the one who can assist me at all times. The one who can assist me at all times. When you remove this, subhanallah, you fall into depression. You fall into... That is why, subhanallah, for a person to have Allah, for a person to have Allah. Imagine if the doctor says to him that, oh, you know what, you've got this illness, you are ill, this is going, you know, you might be living in this dunya for a few more days now. What is going to be his savior? Do you think looking at the wife is going to satisfy him? Do you think his friends are going to satisfy him? Do you think the children are going to satisfy him? Deep in the heart, he can raise his hands and say, my Allah, you are the one who has given me this disease and you are the only one that can give me shifa. That hope is still there. That hope is still there. Subhanallah. You are in a plane and there's great turbulence and the plane is shaking. What is it? The plane is shaking. You don't have Allah, then what will happen? But a person who's got Allah, he'll read Durude Tunajina, and he will read the Kalima, and he will read Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Subhanallah. So to have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a person's life, that is very, very natural. That is very, very natural. And if you don't have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your life, it is living unnaturally. It is living what? Unnaturally. So that is why this is very important for us to understand that the laws of Islam, of halal and haram, lawful and unlawful, is not based on the fact that Allah does not want you to enjoy this dunya. No, no. But anything that was harmful, Allah has closed the doors. So much so that if you want to enjoy, Allah is saying you can eat everything by default, it is halal. Unless Sharia is saying that this is haram. But most of the things are what? Halal. Most of the things. In some religions, they can only be vegetarians. What is it? Only vegetarians. Hai ya nahi? Am I right or wrong? What's that? Vegetarian. Some people only eat dal and, you know. But then they like, you know, because they don't have too much menu. So now they have to go veggie burger, this burger, that burger. But all these names, they have to come up. Because in competition with the other menu is very difficult. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying everything, even in the sea, everything is halal for you. MashaAllah, the meat also, red meat, whatever you want to eat is also halal for you. Most of the things you can also enjoy. So much so that you can also get married. You can also get married. Look at the level of desire that Allah is allowing the human being in this dunya. Allah is allowing in this. So Allah is saying, I know I have created insan. And then from insan, I have created man and a woman. Man and a woman. In a man, I have put a lot of desire. In a man, there is a high level of desire. And physically, he is also very, very, very fit, very strong. Generally, I of course will find some women
that could beat up the imams up. Yeah? Give you a black eye, blue eye. Yeah, you get people like that. Umar ko bhi maar sakte hai koi. Imam sahab akela nahi, Umar ko bhi koi aurat maar sakti hai bhai. You get women. The generally, the men folks, what is it? The testosterone level is always very, very high. Therefore, Allah is saying, the natural way of living is to get married. In some religions, not getting married is piety. Am I right or wrong? And then they don't get married, and then they get caught doing the wrong things. They get caught doing the wrong things. Because you are tampering with nature. You are tampering with nature. Allah is saying, tum bahut zyada hushyar mat bano bhai. Don't try to be very clever. Allah knows your weakness and Allah knows your strength. Islam is the only religion that pushes a person towards marriage, nikah. Okay, how beautiful this religion is. And Allah is saying that because the men physically have this desire at a very high level, then Allah Pak has said also, if you require, marry two wives. I didn't even get to three, Umar saying three. Umar, isko to bahut desire ho gaya hai bhai. So, if more than that, Allah Pak is still giving you ijazat. What? Three. Look at the balance. If more than three, even four. But, look at the beautiful balance in Islam. This is the weakness, not a weakness, this is the natural way of how Allah has created a man, that his level of shahwat is what? Very high, very, very high, as compared to a woman. As compared to a woman. A man's desire is very high. So Allah Pak has said, no, no. Even in this dunya you can get married one, two, three and four. But, subhanallah, with strict laws. This is not, you know, a walk in the park. You say, ha ha, this lady looks nice. Chalo ji, nikah kar lo. With nikah comes responsibility. That you have to take the full responsibility. Equality. What is it? Equality. The Quran is saying that if you fear that you cannot be equal, then for you from four, you will go down to one. Fawahida. That's why most of the people only have one. They like to, you know, twist things about Islam. But most of the Muslim men, how many wives do they have? One. Why? Because this condition is there that you have to also show equality. And equality is a must there. But look at the beautiful balance of Islam. This is what I'm trying to say, my respected brothers, so that we understand, alhamdulillah, how our deen is. Our deen is so beautiful. So beautiful. And look at how beautiful our deen is. How it is protecting the women folks. How it is protecting the women folks. Slightly diverting, slightly, but it's not even a diversion. It is part of the topic and it is something that's going to benefit us. In Islam, our children that need to get married, and especially the daughters, one, the modern way of living is what we call the dating system. What is it called? The dating system. Our grandparents got married without looking at their partners. And alhamdulillah, they were mothers of 7, 8, 9, 10 children. And their relationship was solid as a rock. Samjhe? Itna tough relationship hota tha. And now, the boys and girls before marriage are virtually doing everything, dating for 1 year, then getting married. They were dating for 1 year and then getting married. So they came and they said, Imam sahab, nikah para ho? So I says, yes, tune kabul kiya. Yeah. Maine kabul kiya. And then you get a phone call, Imam sahab, what is the procedure of talaq in 3 weeks? Is it one talaq, two or three? How do I shoot? Samjhe? Tumne pehle to sab shooting kar li. Ab kamil shoot. Samjhe? What, why is this happening? When you mess around, mock and tamper with the laws of Allah Pak. When you are influenced by other people and the other ideologies and other cultures, and look at the system in Islam, and one needs to appreciate this, my respected brothers. In Islam, say, Umar wants to marry, Umar's wife will be listening. Just say, Umar wants to marry. Umar wants to marry, and just say the girl's name is, what's the girl's name, Umar? Are you going to choose a girl's name? Jaldi karo yaar, or you choose it. Cholo, we'll just say Khadija. Okay? Khadija. Umar wants to marry Khadija. Now, what is the procedure? Look at the beauty of Islam. Look at the safeguarding procedure in Islam. You see, you have a safeguarding procedure now by prevent for the madrasa teaching us, for the schools teaching us, safeguarding. You people don't know safeguarding. Yeah? They tell us how safeguarding is done. But look at the safeguarding that Islam gives. Umar wants to get married to Khadija. Now what happens? Umar has to go to Khadija's father. What is it? Khadija's father. Khadija's father's name is, say, Abdullah. What is it? Abdullah. So either Umar will go, or Umar's father will go, or somebody from his family will be representing him with him, they will go. And they will say to the father, Assalamu alaikum, how are you? Ha, Kareem. We are showing interest in your daughter. My son Umar would like to propose to your daughter. And if you are happy, then inshallah we can continue this. This is the way of safeguarding. Look how beautiful it is. Look at the modern world dating, the Western concept, and look at Islam. We need to appreciate. And then what happens is that the father now is happy. The boy naturally will have this inherent fear in him that, you know what, I can't be messing around with this girl because there is her father, uske abba bhi hai. You can't bypass the father. The father is there. So now what the father is required to do? Number two, the father now is given the opportunity to vet Umar. To do his own research, to look at him. Bhai, he wants to marry my daughter. Let me find out who he is. So now the father is on his mission to find out, bhai, how is Umar? So he's done his now job and everything, how Umar is. And just say Umar is a good guy, mashallah. Then the father comes to the daughter and says that there is this boy, this family, this person. I have had all the full information, what is happening, and you know, this is the information. What do you think? And then now it is the girl's choice and it is her final say. It is going to be her final say. This is the beauty of Islam. You cannot force anybody. The final say is with the girl. Of course, when there's compatibility and everything. So now the girl will say, Abbaji, okay, I'm showing a bit of interest, whatever. She might be shy. She might say to the mother. And then they arrange a meeting where the boy and girl can actually see each other. And then the boy and girl will see each other. And then in that period of time, if there is a yes, then Shariat says, if there is a yes, then if there is no other reason, immediately roll the ball, spin the ball very quickly and get them married. Roll the ball and get them very, very quickly married. And this way, the girl is safeguarded and the boy is not given any opportunity to mess around with the girl at all. And then, this procedure of Islam is so beautiful because it is protecting the most valuable asset. The most valuable asset, which is chastity. Which is her chastity. Her chastity. Her honorability. You are protecting this. Look how beautiful Islam is. So my respected brothers and elders, any command of Allah, maybe you might not understand, but if you know the golden rule, the thumb rule, anything that is of benefit, Allah has made it halal. Anything that is of, you know, evil in its nature or harmful, then Allah has made it haram. Suvar ka gosht. It's harmful to the body. You can't eat it. Allah knows it's harmful because Allah has created that animal. Allah created that animal. Everything about that animal, Allah created, and Allah knows what is jais for my banda and what is not jais for my banda. This is the beauty of Islam. And while, just let's get on to this topic of nikah whilst we are talking on this. In the modern world, people are no longer getting married. People are no longer getting married. People are no longer getting married. Why are they not getting married? Because getting married would mean two people live together and have a relationship. So, why not get married? Why not get married? Because people are still doing what a husband and wife would do. But why is it that people don't want to get married in the modern world? Perhaps Islam is the only religion that has protected the concept of nikah and the concept of marriage. But why is it in the modern world people don't want to get married? Any quick answers? Too expensive. Who said that? Yeah. Responsibility. Too expensive. Responsibility. Sajjan? Huh? Being married is difficult. Yes. Any one more point? Any? Okay. Do whatever. Commitment. Okay. You see, why people are not getting married anymore? I'll tell you why, my respected brothers. Because the modern world has become such a promiscuous society that it has become impossible to show loyalty to one another. This is the reason. What is it? The modern world has become such a shameless, promiscuous society. Nudity, pornography is so arm. That this Mufti Sahib, I was just listening to his bayan, actually somebody was listening and I also was listening then. That Mufti Sahib was asked that can a brother hug the sister? Can a brother hug the sister? Now, this is a biological brother wanting to hug a biological sister. Could there be anything wrong with that? Not really, nothing. Nothing wrong. But this Mufti Sahib said something ajeeb. He said that in the current climate and the day and age that we are living in, the level of shahwat and desire and zina and promiscuity is so high, that in front a person looks different, but inside the corruption is at a very high level. That I would even give a fatwa that a real brother is not supposed to hug the real sister. In this day and age. A real brother should not even hug the real sister. This is the kind of world that we are living in. So in the modern world, you see my respected brothers, the problem with our community is we want to follow Batil, we want to follow other people. But what have other people got that you want to follow them? This is something that we need to understand. Would you want to live inside a dustbin? I'm asking you, would you want to live in a dustbin? Why do you want to live in a dustbin? Why would you want to make a dustbin your house? When you don't make Islam your living, basically, you are living in a dustbin. You are living in the bins. And so what happens? The modern world, because of so much promiscuity, before even in the non-Muslim society, a husband and wife would be celebrating their marriage, 60, 70, 80 years they've been together, the children have been there for them. But in the modern world, to keep loyalty and to show, you know, loyalty to one another, that I am your partner and you are my partner and this is how we are going to live, it has become so difficult that virtually it's a pandemic, it is impossible. So then in the modern world, people are thinking that, bhai, this woman that I am going to get married is not going to be my partner forever. And if I get married, what is the use? If we go through matrimony, is there any use? No. So there is no use. So now what the modern man is doing is we are cohabiting and we are living like husband and wife. But this is short-term cohabiting. What is it? Short-term cohabiting. That is why you go to countries like Japan, China, India wants to now follow, and different countries. They are making very, very small cubicles. What are they? Cubicles. Because hotels and to have a house and all these things are very, very difficult. So what they want is for a modern man to live in this kind of a tablet, in this thing inside, where he will have all the technology, he sits inside and he will fulfill his desire artificially. You can fulfill all your desire artificially. This is when you move away from Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Now, just to give you some indication of how Allah is protecting human beings. Because these laws are for all of human beings. But because it is only the people of Iman who want to obey Allah, so it's more applicable only to the people of Iman, because they are the people who are following it. So for an example, now what happens is that when a person gets married, first of all, there's no marriage. And if they do get married, they still know that how long is this going to last. Even now, it's quite a fashion, you know, to have stepchildren, stepdaughters. These things are quite normal now. So anyway, the first thing is, in the Western world, there is what we call mixed gathering. What is it? Mixed gathering. Where you have a man and a woman in a gathering sitting together. Mixed gathering. And Allah has safeguarded insan. Allah wants to safeguard the wife of this man and the mother of four children. And Allah wants to safeguard this beautiful woman. And in Islam, the concept is segregation. What is that? Women on one side, men on one side. Now where is a greater protection? In segregation or in mixing? Segregation. Naturally. But then what happened? You have the liberal minded people. You have the liberal Muslims. You have the modern Muslims that will say, what is this Talibani attitude doing here? This is what they say. They make a masti. It's Talibani attitude. They are going to suffer, but because of pride, they will say that. So Islam is already protecting you by showing you the method of what? Segregation. The second point, Islam protects a person, provocative dressing. What is it? Provocative dressing. This is the big gun of shaitan. And when Allah has given someone extreme beauty, that is why Muslim women do parda. Because Muslim women are the most beautiful from all the women of this dunya. Am I right or am I wrong? In fact, I touched on this topic just last Wednesday. Faisal Sahib, Wednesday. And I gave dalail proof of the ayat of the Quran. Muslim women are the most beautiful creation of Allah. That is why in Islam for women, what is there? There is modesty. What is it? The Western world is promoting provocative dressing and Islam is promoting to strangers modest dressing. Where is safety? Where is safety? Modesty. Now can you imagine you are walking with your wife and your wife is dressed up in a way that is exposing her beauty, and when you are walking, 20, 30 men are looking at her and dreaming about her. Is this what you want? Is this what you want? So Islam is designed to protect. Islam is designed to protect. Number two. Number three in Islam, the Western world will force the women to work. That is why the agenda is to make things so expensive that it would be impossible for one man's wage to run the house. It would become impossible for one man's wage to run the house. To make things so difficult so that even the children have to go out and also the wife has to go out. And when the wife has to go out, if she has not got that level of khashiyat and taqwa and the fear of Allah, then obviously things are very difficult, because the difference between a man and a woman is that a man's beauty is nothing compared to a woman's beauty. A man's beauty is nothing compared to a woman's beauty. Everybody will target that woman very quickly. If there is one woman for a man, there will be 50 men for that one woman. Do you understand the ratio, by? If you are in a workplace and there are also women out there, depending how you are, then just say you have one or two women that might have a crush on you. They might like you slightly. If you compare those one or two women with a woman that is out there, there will be 20, 30, 40, 50 men that will want to talk to her. Why? Simple, because Allah has given that beauty, that level of beauty. So Islam protects. And Islam tells you, you can dress up how you want in a safe environment. How beautiful is that? Look at the balance. Islam did not even say, she's getting married. He's a big buzruk. And the wife got married in a full black jabba. He's a big buzruk. That's not buzruk. That's pagal. What is he? Pagal hai bhai. They're called buzruk. In a safe environment, if there's only women, then the woman can also dress up. And especially to dress up for the husband. It is the sunnah. It is very, very important. And then the other very important rule is, the Western world has legalized adultery by consent. They have legalized adultery by consent. And Islam has never ever legalized this kind of fulfillment of your sexual desire, but only by nikah. By nikah. So my respected brothers and elders, what I'm trying to say is that alhamdulillah, and every subject we can look into and you will see the benefits that are there. Every ruling in Islam, if we take our time, you will see the benefit that is there. That is why our mothers and sisters should also have a mindset that alhamdulillah, if my Allah has told me to do this, then it is only for my benefit. Look at the young child, a baby, you know, 4, 5, he will have his total reliance on the parents. Because in the mind he knows that in the beginning it is only my mother and my father that have been protecting me. He can't speak, but when a stranger is going to pick the baby up, he will start to cry. He will start to cry. He will run away. A stranger, a baby. But what does this baby know? Allah has put in this baby that when a stranger is there, you say, but baby, tum aao, chalo main uthao. You know, in the beginning, he might not be comfortable, he might want to cry or whatever. But the minute when the baby sees the mother, then he is crying to get to her. There he was crying to run away, and now he is crying to get to the mother, crying to get to the father. Why? Because inherently, in its innate condition, it knows that these two are my protectors, my saviors. And it should be inherent inside us that my Allah and His Rasul are only there to protect me. And if we have that attitude, inshallah, there is khair for every one of us. Allah give us all the tawfiq. اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.